You have your Bible, turn with me, please, over to Psalm 100. Then follow along as I read, beginning at verse 1, please. Psalm 100. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him, bless His name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and His faithfulness to all generations. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we have come here this morning to worship You because of who You are, because of all that we have, because of Your blessing upon us. We've come today to hear from You, to gather around Your Word and to listen to what You have to say to us. We've come, Father, today especially with thankful hearts. Not a one of us has to look far to see Your blessing upon our lives. You've entrusted us with so much. Whether it's as an individual, a family, a church family, we are responsible for so much. It truly is our desire to be good stewards, which surely begins with a thankful heart directed toward You. So, Father, as we focus our attention upon You today, as we gather today as family, as we gather this week, perhaps on Thursday, maybe Friday, maybe Saturday, maybe next Sunday, but gather as individual families and remember again how thankful we are. May we remember that it all begins with this simple truth that You loved us. That Jesus came, died for us, and through His resurrection proved that He is who He says He is, Your Son, our Savior. And then He told His disciples on the night in which He was betrayed that He is even now preparing for us a place so that where He is, we may go and be with Him. If our lives included absolutely nothing else, we would be the most thankful, the most grateful, and should be the most loving of all people. So, Father, help us to block out the distractions and focus on Your Word. Take Your Word, Your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. My Bible says at the top of Psalm 100, a psalm for thanksgiving. And you know, life can be tough. I think of the Edsel family and just days before Thanksgiving, and as Rick prayed, Thanksgiving, you know, kicks off this holiday season, and just right at the beginning, God touches this dear family with loss. And so sometimes, even with these built-in holidays, it still can be hard to be thankful. Because sometimes life just doesn't lend itself to that. And I think God knew that and left us with passages of Scripture like Psalm 100. Don't know who wrote it, but clearly someone who understood the heart of God and His desire for us as His people. I picked out, just in reading, 6 commands that perhaps will help us, maybe help you if you're struggling with being thankful this year, or how to be thankful. The first is right here in verse 1. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. When we rightly understand that we exist in the very presence of God Himself, He's always there. You don't have to go anywhere to find Him. You don't have to go anywhere to approach Him. He's there. And the psalmist is telling us that at any time, at any point, we can shout joyfully to the Lord. Now, my Bible does, as Jeremy has in the before you, capitalize that word Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And that's significant, because in our English Bibles, that's a way for the translators to tell us this is the covenant name for God. This is not the generic term for God or the generic term for Lord. This is the name God gave to Moses at the burning bush. When Moses said, well, you want me, of all people, to go back to Egypt and lead your people? Who will I tell them has sent me? Like that's going to make any difference. Well, you tell them, I am, has sent you. And that's what this word translates, I am. Maybe you've heard the word Jehovah or Yahweh. It's the covenant name that God gave to Israel. When you think of who God is, think of me, think of the God who is, as opposed to all the other gods who are not. The psalmist is inviting us to shout to the God who is. All of us, all the earth. Wherever you are, whatever you're going through, whatever the circumstance, you can immediately have an audience with the God of the world. Shout joyfully to the Lord. When you think of who He is and who you are, we don't have to have a special prayer voice, a special church voice, you know, like inside voice that you tell the kids from time to time. No. God says, come boldly, come joyfully, and shout to the very God who is And he invites us all. Now, when this psalm was written, perhaps the psalmist was just thinking of Israel. We'll forgive him of that. It's not until we get to the New Testament that we clearly understand that God loved the whole world. Now, yes, there are hints in the Old Testament, but the lens is much clearer when we get to look through the New Testament. That God loved the whole world. And so when he says here, all the earth, whether the psalmist knew it or not, God meant the whole earth, that any man, any woman, could for whatever reason simply say, God, I need your attention right now. And we can do it with confidence, we can do it with joy. Serve the Lord, verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. And notice it doesn't say some of you, the specially gifted of you. Simply says all of you, just by the fact that it says serve. Serve the Lord with gladness. One of the first hurdles all of us have to get over after we were saved. Somebody loved us. Somebody shared the gospel with us. We found out that God loves us and that Jesus died for us. And all we have to do is recognize Him as Savior and Lord and accept Him and call Him Lord. And He saves us, He forgives our sins, and we're so thankful for that. Now we get to spend eternity in heaven with Him, and all of that is wonderful. But then upon careful reading and good instruction, we find out that God has saved us not just for eternity, but He has also saved us to serve Him, to serve one another. He didn't save you just so that you could spend eternity with Him. He saved you so that you could serve one another in whatever way you do. Tim talked with us this morning in our adult Sunday school class about that. And it's different for all of us. We serve in different ways. But we are all able to serve one another. In doing that, we serve the Lord. There's that word again. The God who is, that covenant name, that special name. We serve the Lord. Oh, and don't trip over this, with gladness. I got to teach today. I got to get that lesson ready. Got to get my offering ready. Got to this, got to that, because we got to go to church. No. Serve the Lord with gladness. I get to serve. Of course, when you back up far enough, you understand it's a privilege. The only reason you serve one another is because God loved you and saved you. And then He specially gifted you in some way. To serve one another on His behalf. We get to be, from time to time, in different ways, the hands and feet of Jesus to those around us. And we should be able to do it with gladness. With joy. This is my privilege to do this. In the last part of verse 2, come before Him with joyful singing. The church hasn't always bought that. And it goes in cycles. And it's somewhat cultural. And there's nothing like a worship war. Thankfully, we have avoided that here. But when you read the Psalms carefully, it's pretty clear that David, the sons of Asaph, and others really enjoyed worship. I mean, they used instruments that we have to go back and historically study and try and imagine. But basically, they used everything they knew of or had heard of that they could pluck or beat to make noise to God. It was cultural, sure. Some of it we wouldn't be necessarily comfortable with. But their singing was always joyful. So this idea of church music, quiet, soft, dirge, very simple. Place for it? Absolutely. Absolutely. But for that to characterize how we worship and how we direct our thoughts toward God? A thankful heart will sing joyfully. Now, some of us can do that better than others. Here and now. For a lot of us, that's going to be a part of that transformation that happens. We will have voices for eternity that we can't even imagine now. But here and now, we can do what we can. And again, out of a thankful heart, we can sing joyfully just because of what's within us. Now, all of this leads to verse 3 and what we need to remember. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. You see, we can shout and serve and come when we know who we are. Know that the Lord Himself is God. He's not being redundant. Remember, Jehovah, the I Am, He is God. He's the Holy One. He's the Eternal One. He's the only one. So, the one we have referenced here in verses 1 and 2, shout, serve, come, that one, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. It is He who has made us. We are His creation. Lots of discussion about Genesis 1 and 2. God made us. We are His creation. And then he adds, not we ourselves, which references all of the other theories about how we got here, that somehow, if we can come up with a better plan than Genesis 1 and 2, we can eliminate God completely from our lives because we are simply here. It just happened. But no, he made us. And not we ourselves, which expands this idea to remind us of how we got to where we are. The book of Proverbs is full of challenges to work hard. and to enjoy the fruits of hard labor. Absolutely. But the last thing we want to do is come to the end of the day and somehow think of all that we have done and all that we have accomplished and all that is now ours. None of it is possible without our Creator, the one who made us, the one who sustains us. So we are not self-made. We are His workmanship, the result of His efforts within us. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. We belong to Him. Now think about that. You and I, we belong to the God of the universe, the Creator, the Holy One, the Righteous One. We belong to Him. And perhaps a hint that maybe David wrote this, but certainly someone who understood that culture and was a part of it. What a wonderful way to show ownership and protection and everything else that goes along with this picture. We are the sheep of His pasture. The God of the universe thinks of me as one of His sheep. Which is good news and bad news, by the way. Good news, He is my shepherd. Bad news, He thinks I'm a sheep. But that's okay, because He's my God. And He knows how weak I am. He knows what I need. And He always provides exactly what I need. Does that inspire some thanksgiving within us? It certainly should. And then he says in verse 4, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. I don't think I do any violence to Scripture. But because he's saying here to enter His gates and His courts, he's talking about going to temple. Well, depending on who wrote this, tabernacle or temple. And he's talking about entering His gates with a thanksgiving offering, a gift. So when you come and you bring your gifts, when you come and enter His courts by transference, a church where a body of believers meet, do it with praise. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Enter His gates with a gift of thanksgiving, a gift given out of a heart of thanksgiving, and treasure is only one. We're also to give of our time and our talents. So, once a month, once a week, once a year, whenever you do it, 5 minutes with God in your checkbook doesn't cut it. That's not all that's involved. No matter how generous you are, it's just a portion. God also demands our time and our talents. And He wants us to give them with praise. Joyfully, willingly, not grudgingly, not as doing my part, but because I want to and because I'm able. I don't know the details, but I've heard enough to know that some of you have learned the joy of giving financially. and of your time and of your talent. And I know that because of the way you do it, how easily you do it, how willingly you do it. And that's what the psalmist is talking about here. And then finally, the end of verse 4, give thanks to Him. Bless His name. Be thankful. Give thanks to the God who is, the God who owns the pasture in which you live, the other sheep in your group. Give thanks to Him. And then he says, bless His name. And that word bless is kind of a slippery thing. You have to look at the context. We ask God to bless us. What do we mean when we ask God to bless us? Well, we want Him to look well upon us. We look at health, income, family, all of those things. We say, oh, the blessings of God. God has blessed us so much. All of the things He's given us. But now he turns around here and he says, give thanks to the Lord and bless His name. Well, here he's talking about recognizing Him for who He is and the part then that He has in our lives. Recognize Him. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. We'll use verse 5 as our conclusion because that's the motivation for all of this. First, the Lord is good. Jehovah, Yahweh, the God who is, He's good. Does that mean that everything that happens to our lives, we're just automatically happy about? No. But we do know that the God who is sees perfectly and clearly. We live lives in a world that is tainted by sin, and so we struggle with others who struggle, and sometimes life is hard. But God is always good. And remember, this is Psalm 100, so it's Old Testament. And there are those who like to put God in a box and they say, well, you know, you look at the Old Testament and all you see about God is He's angry and always killing people and telling other people to kill people. And He's not a very nice guy. You get to the New Testament, well, now their God is nice. You know, He's kind of soft, kind of cuddly. I like that God. But the truth is, we're talking about one God, a God who is good, a God who is holy, righteous, just, but who is always good. His loving kindness is everlasting. You maybe remember this psalm better and remember the word mercy. His mercy is everlasting. His loving kindness, it's who He is. It's a part of His character. God is always merciful. And remember, mercy is when God doesn't give us what we do deserve. Had days like that, had experiences like that, had moments like that. Sure am glad God is merciful. His loving kindness, His mercy is everlasting. And His faithfulness to all generations. Again, don't know what the psalmist understood as he was writing that. Very well might have understood simply the generations of Abraham. But we will forgive him that, because we look back on this side of the cross and see that the Savior, the Redeemer, died for all. Jew and Gentile, male, female, slave, free, for all. And so his faithfulness is to all generations, to all. We have so much to be thankful for. Take the time. I will run the risk of being the church curmudgeon. Sometimes I wonder about holidays. Don't we celebrate the life of Jesus every Sunday? Isn't every day ours only because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection? But we live in a culture where there's a holiday, where we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Most of the world around us doesn't believe it, but it's an excuse for a holiday, and it's an opportunity for us to show our friends and neighbors that we still understand what Christmas is all about, even though it should be a part of our daily lives. And in just a very few months, we will celebrate Easter. And again, the world thinks of it in a variety of ways, but we can stand uniquely and celebrate the simple truth that Jesus lives, and because he lives, so shall we. But that's a daily reality, isn't it? Does a day go by that you don't think about that in some way or another? So it can't be isolated to December 25th and maybe a day in March or April. Can't be. Thanksgiving, designed originally, you know, for just a genuine, thankful heart for getting through a rough winter and spring, and then finally a harvest, a bountiful harvest, and thankful for it. We have so much more to be thankful for. And our friends and neighbors should be able to see that in a real and practical way. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. Thank you for the reminder and these hints as to how practically we can demonstrate our thankfulness in the way we approach worship, in the way we worship, some of what we do during worship, but certainly how we live our lives day to day. Are we truly thankful? And do those around us sense that we know we have so much to be thankful for? We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.